Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground, said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort you, or ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. They said, So do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the young man, and he hasted to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. They said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. And he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to thy cry after, or the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I'll know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I'll spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham said unto him, and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. He spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I'll speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold now, I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, O Lord, O let not the Lord be angry. I'll speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Father, please give me wisdom, and direction, and understanding. Help my words and thoughts to be your words and thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. We have just gotten through chapter 17. And in chapter 17, the Lord asked Abraham to cut away the flesh, circumcision of all the men in his family and all the servants in his family. Abraham obeyed. Don't know exactly how long it's been since chapter 17 and 18. Maybe a few weeks anyway. We find Abraham running to the Lord, so we know it's probably been at least a few weeks. But anyway, Abraham obeyed, and the Lord showed up again. I find that intriguing. You know, the Lord's not going to show up unless you obey. He's not going to go to step two unless you do step one. There are a lot of Christians out there that have been struggling with their Christian walk for many, many, many years because they've been saved, but they've never been scripturally baptized. And they're wondering, why in the world can I go to step three? Because you haven't done step two. God doesn't let you skip steps. So if you're here today and you've been saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized, you can't go to step three until you do step two. Abraham obeyed. The Lord shows up again. Abraham is sitting in the plains of Mamre. This is the place of many oaks, enjoying the shade, sitting in the tent door, probably enjoying the nice breeze. The Lord appeared. There was a specific reason for God's meeting with Abraham, and we'll discuss that here in just a few minutes. But I want to look at some responses to the Lord. And I want to focus on Abraham and Sarah and see if we are doing like they're doing. The first thing that I did when I read this, and there are several things that you could probably take out of this chapter. You could talk about God's blessing of Sarah and God's cursing of Sodom. We could talk about that. But I find five things that I want to point out. Number one, I noticed that Abraham was eager to meet with the Lord. By the way, this is the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh before the New Testament. This would be a theophany or a Christophany, a theophany. God in the flesh meeting with Abraham right here. Number one, if it wasn't the Lord, then Abraham would have never bowed and worshipped. This is capital L-O-R-D. You see it a couple of times. And the other two must have been angels. The angels that he sent to Sodom. You remember the angels going to Sodom? He sent them on. He says, you go ahead and I'll sit here and talk with Abraham for a little while. And he goes, I'll know if there are righteous there. And so the two angels went on to Sodom and Abraham and the Lord communed together. But I want us to see that Abraham was eager to meet with the Lord. And that brought me some questions to my mind. Are we eager to meet with the Lord? When we meet with the Lord, number one, we need to be watching for His presence. Abraham was in the tent, just minding his own business, but yet he saw three men walking towards him. And when he saw them, the Bible says he ran unto them. He was eager. When we meet with the Lord, we need to be running to His presence. Are you looking for the Lord to show up in your life? I mean, Abraham was minding his own business. He had just obeyed God and went through some physical pain for several weeks as in obeying the Lord. Now he's resting. Enjoying the cool breeze, sitting under the oaks, sitting in his tent, minding his own business, relaxing, healing up. And then all of a sudden the Lord showed up. Hey, are you eager for the Lord to show up in your life? I mean, I want the Lord to show up in my life? And when the Lord shows up in our life, are we eager? Do we run to Him or do we run from Him? When we meet with the Lord, we need to be worshiping in His presence. These are the things that I saw Abraham do. He met the Lord. He ran to the Lord. He was eager to see the Lord. And then he worshiped in His presence. You know, when the Lord shows up, we should worship. We should worship Him. He's worthy. Are we eager to meet with the Lord? Number two, are we hospitable to the Lord? Are you and I, are we hospitable to the Lord? Do we do what we can do to please God? I was talking to somebody just the other day, and I was telling them, I said, you know, you need to stop living your life trying to get the Lord to love you more. Because the Lord cannot love you any more than He loves you right now. But I'm afraid that we have a lot of people out there that have been brought up in a legalistic way. And they're always seeking to find a way to please the Lord, not because that's what they want to do, it's because they're afraid of God and they want God's love more. And friends, you can't get God's love more than you got right now. God doesn't love you a little bit more today, and then He'll love you a little bit more tomorrow. And if you do really, 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 really good, He'll love you even more next week. Hogwash and applesauce. There's a good Hebrew word for that. It's called balagna. Baloney. You can't get God to love you any more than He loves you right now. So we don't do things so that God loves me more. I do things because I want to love Him more. I do things to show Him that I love Him, not so that He'll love me more, because He loves me so much already. Stop living your life trying to get God's love. You've got it. Why don't you live your life to show your love for God? Are you and I being hospitable to God? Are we providing an environment that is pleasing to the Lord? I mean, look what Abraham did. I mean, Abraham did everything physically possible to make the Lord comfortable. Here, come over, sit under this shade tree. Hey, Sarah, can you imagine being 90 years old or 89 years old, ladies, your husband walking in and say, quick, fix something to eat. The President of the United States is here. Right? Man. I mean, you know, man, you know that if you told your ladies after the church this morning, hey, I invited some people over, you'd be in trouble. There has to be a house that's cleaned. There has to be a meal that's appropriate. And it can't be hamburger helper. I mean, he goes, and it's not like she had a microwave or a frozen TV dinner. He said, hey, quick, make something. The Lord's here. And then he goes and kills a cow. Now, I'm not a butcher. In our freezer, we have cow meat. But I don't have a cow out back that if I'm hungry, I go slaughter. How long, does anybody know how long it would take to kill a cow and then cut it up and cook the meat? I have no idea. It take longer than 30 minutes, and I'm done after 30 minutes. I want to go on. I'm saying this was an all-day process, and God showed up, and Abraham did everything in his power to be hospitable to the Lord. And I'm afraid that we don't. Is our life inviting to the Spirit? Are we hospitable to God? Can the Lord come and rest with us? I find that Abraham was hospitable. He wanted the Lord to stay. Hey, there's a proverb. It's actually in Proverbs. It basically says, hey, don't stay long at a person's house or you'll wear out your welcome. But Abraham wanted God to stay. Do we want the Lord to stay? He begged the Lord to stay. He wanted to serve the Lord. Give him some water. Give him some... He wanted to please the... Here, wash your face. Sit under the shade. Are we hospitable to the Lord? Is our life inviting? We want the Lord to be with us, or he kind of gets in our way when we want to do something? You know, I'd really like to go over here and do this, but I got this Lord thing that's always on my conscience, and I can't do it. Bless my heart. Or when the Lord shows up, please stay. I'll sacrifice everything over here. I'll sacrifice everything over here if you'll stay. I'll give my best cow. I'll give my best food. I'll give you my best sitting spot, the best shade. I'll give you everything that I've got if you'll just stay. That's what Kate's saying, I surrender all. That's what that means. I want you to stay. I surrender. Are we hospitable to the Lord? Are we trying to hide from the Lord? I see this in Sarah. God says, hey, Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a baby. Sarah overheard the conversation. I'm sure Sarah was sitting at the kitchen tent listening. She might have been invited to the conversation. I really don't know. But somehow she overheard. And then she laughed within herself. She didn't go, ha, that's ridiculous, dear Lord. No, she laughed inside of herself. And God said, Sarah, why are you laughing? I didn't laugh. And God says, yes, you did. I find that God's not going to let you pull one over on him. And it's not okay not to be honest. God didn't just think, Sarah's lying to me again, oh well. No, he confronted her with it and says, yes, you did. That had to be an uncomfortable situation for Sarah. But I see that Sarah was hiding from the Lord. Listen, there's no reason to hide our thoughts from the Lord. He knows them. The Lord will hold us to truth. So if you and I are living our life and we are living a lie, God knows that we're living a lie. And if we are even deceiving ourselves, God knows that we're deceiving ourselves. And God's not going to be okay with it. Kids, God's not okay with little white lies. He's just not. Some people think it's okay. Some people have lied so long they don't even know they're lying. My dad used to, we used to have family members, and my dad would tell me, he says, that guy is lying. That guy would lie to get himself in trouble. Just because he lies. And you know what? Sometimes I think we as believers, we are not facing the truth about where we are at with the Lord. Sarah did not believe God. I mean, true, God made this ridiculous statement that in all human capacity of intelligence, you would think, that's ridiculous, she's 89. The Bible even says the time of Sarah to be able to have children had passed. But she forgot she wasn't dealing with a physician, she was dealing with a great physician. We go into the hospital and I'll pray with somebody. I'll say, listen, let's pray. The other day, I was in the hospital, and it was during visiting hours, and I had to go to the CCU, and I was in there, and I was trying to comfort someone that was very sick, and nurse or somebody comes in and wants to take blood or give blood, and I said, that's fine. I said, I was going to hurry. I said, if it's okay, can I just pray with them real quick and read a scripture? Oh, yeah, it's fine. Very kind. I walked out. So I pray, and I read a passage of scripture, and then the other nurse walks in. Kind of like, they had one person in CCU. And I was like, okay. She goes, we had it. I said, okay. So I prayed. And I prayed this. I said, dear God, I'm thankful for these doctors and nurses. They have practiced and dedicated their life. But the real need is you, not blood. Is that true? So we have society of young people that are growing up into being doctors and nurses that have been taught that there is no God and that God is not real and that what they do is really what saves lives, and it's not. See, every doctor that you and I go visit, they're practicing physicians because they practice. And guess who's the guinea pig? But we serve one that is the great physician who needs no practice. She forgot she was dealing with the great physician. And hey, listen, ladies, if you're 89 years old and the Lord shows up in your life and says, you're going to have a baby next year. You're going to have a baby next year. Now, let's pray that that doesn't happen. I pray that a 40... How old are you, Amanda? I pray that that doesn't happen for a 41-year-old. But if God says it, it's so... And here's the thing. She heard it. God said it. She laughed and thought God was being silly. God called her out on it. She lied and denied it, and then God held her to truth. And listen, God's always going to hold you and me to truth. God is not on your side. God is not on my side. God is always on the side of truth. Always. God and truth walk hand in hand. God and wisdom walk hand in hand. God and knowledge walk hand in hand. And truth, knowledge, and wisdom, and righteousness, and justice, they all are on the side of God. So God's not on your side. He's not on my side. I can be on His side. But He's always on the side of truth. And Sarah was, at that particular moment, not on the side of truth. Are you on the side of truth? Are you trying to hide from God the truth about who you are and where you're at? He's not okay with it. And He will hold you accountable. Number four. Are we concerned about the lost? Because Abraham was. After all of this, God says, hey, guys, I can't keep it from Abraham anymore. I love Abraham too much. I'm not going to hide this. Abraham, here's what I'm fixing to do. Sodom's sin is wicked. And by the way, Sodom's sin ended with sodomy. Homosexuality ruled Sodom. And no matter what the politicians say, or no matter what the law say, and no matter how angry this makes people, that's what happened. You know, a person that is of a homosexual tendency does not want to be called a sodomite. They hate it. But there's a reason that they're called that. It's because of the city of Sodom. And their sin had come before the Lord. And I don't know how long they had sinned. A long time, evidently. Because God is a very patient God. And He's a very loving God. God did not hate anybody in Sodom. Not a one of them. And neither should you and I hate anybody. At all. No matter what their ethnicity. No matter what their sexual preference. We shouldn't hate anybody. God died for everyone. But their sins had come before the Lord, and God's patience had ran out with Sodom and Gomorrah. And He told Abraham, I'm going to destroy it. Wipe it out. And Abraham's plea is so sincere. I mean, he says, and Abraham drew near. He got closer to God. Will thou also destroy the righteous? With the wicked? And then he goes, peradventure there's 50. Would you save the city for 50? Is he trying to save the righteous? No. He's trying to save the unrighteous. How do you know that, Nathan? Because he says right here in verse number 22, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. God's not going to slay the righteous with the wicked. Abraham knew that. So why is he trying to save Sodom? Because he cares about the people. Do you and I have a burden for those that are lost? And then I love this question. Shall not the judge of all of the earth do right? And the answer is absolutely. The judge of all the earth will always do right. But we see that Abraham had a burden or a concern for the lost. He knew that Sodom and Gomorrah wouldn't be destroyed. The righteous wouldn't be destroyed. And so he goes to God, would you save the city for 50? And he says, 50, yes. 45? I'll save it for 45. 30, I'll save it for 40. 30, yeah, I'll save it for 30. 20, yeah, I'll save it for 20. How about 10? Now, I believe this is where Abraham thought, there's no possible way there's not 10 righteous there. And that's why he gave up. 10? God says, I will save the city of Sodom for 10 righteous. Abraham was concerned about the righteous, but he was more concerned about the unrighteous being destroyed. Hey, this is a good indication to me about that verse, slay the righteous with the wicked. There's a good proof of the rapture right there. God's not going to put His children through the tribulation. Will He do that to the righteous that He does to the wicked? Absolutely not. That's not His. He didn't do it in the ark, and He's not going to do it at the rapture. When the rapture takes place, I'm gone. The tribulation period is not for me. I won't ever set foot in the tribulation period. I will not do it. I'll ride on a horse coming back at the end of it, but I won't be here during the whole tribulation period unless I'm one of the two witnesses, which I'm not. Are we concerned about the lost? If God came down to Fairmont tonight and says, you know, Nathan, we're Victory Baptist Church, get out of Fairmont. I'm going to destroy it. Some of you would be like, oh, let's go pack the U-Haul. We're out of here. Well, that's a viable thing to do. I mean, I'd probably pack the U-Haul too, but I wouldn't want to leave. I think I would want to ask God to spare it. God, will you not save Fairmont? Hey, listen, I want you to know if there's a city that needs to be saved in West Virginia, it's Fairmont. Every time I look, it needs a good washing. It needs saved. It's not what it should be. And I'm sad about that. I kind of feel like that it's our fault. Good churches in Fairmont shouldn't have let this happen. Voting citizens shouldn't have let this happen. It's just the truth. We dropped the ball. We got lazy in our prosperity. We got comfortable. You know, when we're comfortable, I want you to know that the devil's always working overtime. When we let up our guard, that's when he works overtime to destroy what we don't think he's fixing to destroy. But would we be concerned for Fairmont? Or would we be like, well, she had her chance. Let's get out of here. That wasn't Abraham's attitude. Oh, dear God, won't you save Sodom for 10 righteous? I mean, you're not going to destroy the righteous. I know that. But won't you save Sodom for 10? I don't want those people to die. God said, I will. I see that Abraham was concerned for the loss. But I also want you to see that God's compassionate. Starts out with 50. God says, all right, I won't do it for 50. I don't know how low Abraham could have gone before God says, all right, I won't do it for 5. I won't do it for 1. I don't know how, but Abraham stopped at 10. That's all I know. Abraham stopped at 10, and that's where the conversation ended. I don't know how much compassion God would have shown, but he's very compassionate. Are we communing with God? This is my final thought. These are questions that I had reading chapter 18. Are we communing with God? Because the Bible says in the very last verse of chapter 18, the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned into his place. I wonder what stopped the communion. Everything I'm going to say here about that would be speculation. Maybe it was time for God to go. I don't know. Maybe Abraham was satisfied with 10 and stopped communing with the Lord and said, all right, I got what I wanted. Certainly Sodom won't be destroyed for 10. So a little bit more fellowship, and then Abraham left and God left too. I don't know. Maybe because Abraham was pretty sure that there were 10 righteous in Sodom. Maybe because God was done dealing. I don't know. Either way, the communion stopped at this specific time. Here's the interesting thing about that. And I've thought about this. You know, God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at all times. He always has been. God always had a watch on Abraham, always had an eye on Abraham, always watched Abraham. But he didn't always communicate with Abraham. It was come and go. There were times that he would meet with Abraham and talk with him specifically, and there were times that he would not. Communion came and communion went in the Old Testament, but God was always there. God was always watching, and I believe if Abraham cried out to God, God would have showed up. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is in the Old Testament, God's communion came and went. Here's what's really great about this. We live in what we call the New Testament church age, or the age of grace. And when Jesus Christ said, I have to go because I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you someone that will be with, that will commune with you all the time. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Abraham, his communion stopped. What I'm trying to say, you and I, we live in a period that, no, we don't hear the voice of God verbally, which we'd all like to hear, I think. I think we would just love for God just to show up and just talk to us so that our faith no longer had to be faith, that our faith would turn to sight. I think that's what we would all desire. And one day that will happen, but that will happen when I go to heaven. My faith, there will come a time that I will no longer need faith. It'll all be sight. But I live in a step of faith. I live in a place of faith. Abraham, he had faith in God, but he got to physically see God on several occasions and got to speak with Jesus on different occasions. And so his faith at some time was sight. But here for us, Abraham communion came and went. Our communion does not have to. You and I live in a place where we can be in constant communion with God. He doesn't have to leave. The Holy Spirit always abides, always wanting to be in communion with us. Remember this verse, pray without ceasing. That we are able to regular and constant in observance of the stated season of prayer is what that means. We are not to allow this duty to be interrupted or intermitted by any trifle calls. Friend, we should always have an open line of communication and communion with God. I'm certain Abraham did. He could go to God probably any time he wanted to, and God would speak with him. But even greater than what Abraham had, we have. So my question is, are we communing with the Lord? I mean, if God showed up in our life, would we ever want him to leave? And has God showed up? And has God shown up in your life? And for application's sake, and now you're living, and he seems to be gone. You're no longer in communion with him. You're saved. He lives inside your heart, but you're not in constant fellowship with him. Your struggles are greater than your faith. We have the ability, friend, to be in constant communion with the Lord. And the question is, are we?
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.